topic that Paul talks about in this last section of chapter 1 is that he can transform your life because of what he has done. Here we're talking about the work of Christ. Look at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, when you talk about the work of Christ, you could use a variety of words. You could talk about his sacrifice on the cross. You could use the word redemption. You could talk about the fact that he's the creator, or he's the savior. He's the coming king. The Apostle Paul, in talking about the work of Christ in these verses, has chosen to use the word reconcile. Notice he did it in verse 21. In fact, he did it in verse 20. He has reconciled all things to himself. He did it again in verse 21. Now he has reconciled. The word reconcile means to change a relationship between two parties. You take two people or two groups of people who are alienated from each other, who were enemies of each other, and you change that relationship to one of peace. Let me give you from this text eight things that the apostle says about reconciliation. I think you have eight spots in your outline. You can fill it in. He begins by identifying the author of reconciliation. That's the first line. The author of reconciliation. Verse 19, it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Some translations say it pleased God. God was pleased that all of the fullness of deity was found in the person of Jesus. Now, the text immediately ties that into a discussion on reconciliation. So the Father is introduced as being pleased with the Son. And here's number two, who is the agent of reconciliation. You see, the Father and the Son both have their roles in reconciliation. The Father is the author of reconciliation, or the planner, if you would like to use that term, of reconciliation. The Son is the agent of reconciliation. You see that in the statement in verse 20, and by him, that is Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself. It is by or through Jesus that a person can be reconciled to God. He is the agent of reconciliation. So, let me catch up. First, we have the author of reconciliation, that's God. Secondly, we have the agent of reconciliation, that is Jesus. There is no other way that anyone can be put into a right relationship with God except through Jesus. Years ago, when Mary and I first went into the ministry, almost 30 years ago now, we pastored a church, and there was an old German gentleman who lived next door to the church. And sometimes he would come to our services, sometimes he would go to the Methodist church, and I'm not sure how many other churches he would go to. And one day I was talking to old Mr. Gramlich, and he said, "Well, Pastor Steve, there are There are many ways to God. There's the Baptist way. There's the Methodist way. There's the Lutheran way. And I got the sense that he was making sure that he visited all of the churches just in case, okay, that he would make it to God. Unfortunately, that's not biblical. There is not the Baptist way. There is not Schuylkill Valley Bible Chapel way. There's not the Catholic way. There's not the Methodist or the Lutheran or the Presbyterian way. There is God's way, and it's through Jesus. Jesus is the agent of reconciliation. Without Jesus, there is no reconciliation between man and God. Paul continues then by identifying the objects of reconciliation. He said in verse 20, "And by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven." This is a difficult statement to understand, and theologians are different in their understanding of the phrase "all things." Some theologians say, well, "all things" means all things. So now God is going to reconcile Satan to himself. He's going to reconcile evil demons to himself. He's going to reconcile all sinners to himself. Now, there may be a theological way to understand that, but just simply put, we have a problem here. Because look at the next statement. Reconcile all things to himself on earth or things in heaven. Here we go. Having made peace. Having made peace. That's the goal of reconciliation. The goal of reconciliation is that people who do not have peace with God can have peace with God. And the people who have peace with God are those who come to Christ with their sin and accept God's terms of peace. Now, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 that we have been justified by faith, and because of that, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. To be justified means that God has declared a person not guilty of their sin, not guilty of the penalty of their sin. He has taken our sin and he has placed it on Jesus. And that's what it means to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the goal of reconciliation is to bring about this state of peace between man, who formerly was the enemy of God, alienated from God, as we will see again in just a moment, we read it, and change that to be a friend of God. And that is only possible when God declares a person free from their sin because of their faith in Christ. That's what justification means. So the objects of reconciliation are those who find peace with God by finding salvation through Jesus. So all things cannot literally mean all things, the way you and I use that phrase. He is going to reconcile all things who come to God through Jesus in faith. That's the goal of reconciliation. That's the they are the objects of the reconciliation. Well, Paul, and I've lost count of how many we've gone through so far, four or five. The next thing are the instruments of reconciliation. He says in verse 20, at the end of the verse, having made peace, here we go, through the blood of his cross. Over in verse 22, he uses a little bit different language. He says, in the body of his death to present you holy. These are, you notice, the same two elements that we observe in the Lord's Supper. Through his blood, through his body. The only way for a person to come to God is through Jesus and his death on the cross. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except how? Through me. There are not many ways to God. There's not a Schuylkill Valley Bible Chapel way. There's not a Baptist way, or a Methodist way, or a Lutheran way, or a Catholic way, or any other way. There's one way, and it's Jesus. To be reconciled to God, you must come through the way that God has provided. Now, why does a person need to be reconciled to God? Here's our next one. The need for reconciliation. I think I maybe left something out here. Let me double check my slides. Yes, I did. The next one is the need for reconciliation. Verse 21, he says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. You see, the reality is that as you and I came into this world, we were alienated from God, we were enemies of God, and we needed to be reconciled to God. We needed the enemy thing to be changed to a peace thing with God. It was our sin that came between us and God. On the one side, you have a God who is holy, a God who is without sin, a God who is apart from sin, and on the other side, it's you and me in our sin. And without reconciliation, we would remain alienated from God. And the dilemma that each of us face is that we can do nothing to change that. As I said before, only God can change us, can transform us. And so God stepped in and he made a way for us to go from enemies of God to friends of God. In his great love, he sent Jesus to make a way. Jesus came to make a way for you and for me and for anyone else who comes to him in faith. He's made a way through Jesus for us to become friends of God, to have peace with God. The result of our reconciliation is that when a person does come to God through Jesus, they go from sinful over here to holy over here. They go from guilty over here to blameless over here in the sight of God. He says in verse 22, well, let's get the context. Verse 21, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. Here's the result of reconciliation, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Isn't that great? I might see you as sinful. God sees you as holy and blameless and above reproach. Listen, that should make you excited because all of us know how bad we are. If you don't know how bad you are, stop and see me after church. I will tell you how bad you are. Talk to anybody else in church. They will tell you how bad you are. I would recommend husbands not ask wives and wives not act husbands. I want you to go home happy. But ask anybody else. We'll tell you. You're pretty bad. I'm pretty bad. We're all pretty bad. And the result of God reconciling us through the person of Jesus is that he doesn't see us pretty bad. He sees us in the person of Jesus. The Bible uses that expression, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, used a lot of times. God looks at you and now he sees you in the person of Christ, and he is holy and he is blameless and he is above reproach in the sight of God. And it's not because of anything that you or I can do. It's all because of what God has done. It's all because of Jesus. Well, finally, there's a condition. Verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. The condition of reconciliation is what the Bible refers to as perseverance. Perseverance simply means to keep on. Don't quit. Don't give up. We've all heard of people who have given up on Christianity. They say things like, well, I tried it and it didn't work. Now, I don't know how you folks shop, but my wife and I go to the grocery store, and pretty much we buy the same thing every time. Why? Because it's worked. But every once in a while, we'll say, hey, let's try this. You know, they have these new grocery stores that they carry different products. And so you look at that product, and it's something different. Got a little different name on it. It's not Doritos, but it's like Doritos. And so you're going to try it to see if it works. You don't try Christianity. You don't try God to see if He will work. You've known people who have tried the Christian life, but when things got too hard, when things didn't work out the way that they thought they should work out, they gave up. Listen, with God, you were either in or you were out. You were either on God's side or you're not on God's side. It's that very simple. People who have been reconciled to God never quit. They never give up. Oh, you may struggle. You might go through hard times. But they will persevere. If indeed you continue in the faith, you persevere in the faith, you never give up in your faith. You're not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now let me bring Paul's discussion on reconciliation, the work that Jesus did, down to three statements to make it, to simplify it. It's not on your outline. You can jot them down if you want. Number one, man needs to be reconciled to God. All of us need to be reconciled to God, or eternally we are going to be under the judgment of God. Secondly, God has made a way of reconciliation, and that is through Jesus and Jesus alone. Thirdly, you can only be reconciled to God through Jesus. That is the work that Jesus has done to transform your life. You see, Jesus can transform you because of who He is. He is the preeminent one. Jesus can transform your life because of what He has done. He has made it possible for you to be reconciled to God. There is no other way that your life can be changed. It can only be changed by Jesus. Christ is the one who can transform lives. And it begins with salvation. And if you're listening to me today, your life can only be transformed when you come by faith and put your faith and trust in Jesus and what He did on the cross. And you say, God, I don't understand all this. It's not making a lot of sense to me right now. But you're working in my life, and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and it's through Him my sins can be forgiven, and I can be made right with God. I can be transformed. My life can be changed. And I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you to do that. Whether you're here in the auditorium, you're listening on dial pads, you're watching on Facebook Live, I want to challenge you to accept God at His Word, that Jesus is deity. And because He is God, He can change you. He can make you right. He can forgive your sin. He can justify you. Would you do that this morning? Even as I pray this morning, would you just call out to God by faith and ask Him to reconcile you to Himself? Father, what a tremendous passage this has been this morning. A lot of material there. Lord, our prayer is for anyone who has heard this message who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They are still alienated from God. They've never been made right with God, never been reconciled to God, that today they would call out in faith and receive Jesus in what He did on the cross as their Lord and Savior. And He will reconcile them to God. Lord, transform lives today so that we might live transformed lives. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.